I wonder if again we can turn in our Bibles, or it will be on the screen, Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 12 to the end. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to the end. And this is some very, very practical advice to families, to the church. This is the word of the Lord, and it's really great wisdom and exhortation. So we begin at verse 12, which is on the screen. If you want to read it out loud, you can. It's good to read the word out loud. Somehow we retain it better. I know at home, at times, I pray out loud. I've no longer got a cat to convert, but I still pray out loud. I read the word out loud sometimes because it helps me, and it also helps me from dropping off to sleep, to be honest. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. That is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. And we didn't give opportunity this morning for any testimonies, etc. I'm sure if I had done so, there would have been several testimonies. I just want to share very, very, very briefly, because at home fellowship on Thursday evening, I did say right at the end, didn't I, that I was suffering from earache, and it was affecting my throat, and I was having difficulty eating. So you prayed for me, and which I'm very grateful, and I had no problem in the morning at all, and I have no problem. Wait a minute. So we give glory to God, eh? We do give glory to God. But I did have, going up on the train up north on Friday, an eye infection, and I don't know how it came, and it wasn't very pleasant. If those of you who have problems with your eye, conjunctivitis and things like that, or bitter grit in your eye. And so as soon as I got to Liverpool, I went into the chemist and they prescribed they got some drops for me. But again, praise to the Lord, apart from a bit of soreness, I'm fine. So, you know, the enemy will try and get you. If he can't get you one way, he'll try and get you another way. But hey, glory to Jesus. Hey, he's a good God. Who admits that? Who wants to admit that he's a good God? And even when we're going through trouble, when we're going through trials and tribulation, you know, he will give us the grace, the power. That's what he wants to do, so that we can patiently bear things, even for Jesus Christ. What a good God he is. So here we've had in Colossians chapter 3 a very practical word. I'll just let Firstly, before I just get into the main part, and I will be brief, but I hope by the grace of the Lord, each one of us will hear what the Spirit is saying. Verse 16 of Colossians chapter 3, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That is the word of Christ. That is all of Christ's own teachings, but it also includes the Old Testament as well. Hallelujah. And then the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ. You know, we read of the Apostle Paul says, "The peace of God, which surpasses or transcends all understanding, the peace of God be yours." But it also goes on to say, guard your mind, guard your thoughts, guard your heart. Let the peace of God guard you for Christ's sake. You see? And we need that in families, don't we? How much, I wonder, how many sleepless nights we will have foregone if we'd have guarded our mouths. Perhaps with our loved ones. Perhaps, you know, with the children. Or we immediately responded to that email without thinking and praying, what does Jesus want me to say? But we respond in haste. We haven't asked for God's peace. And within the church, of course, in Christ's church, you know, let the peace of God guard us. We want to be peaceful, peaceable people. And so that when we do speak, it's in love, maybe the truth, it has to be the truth, but is in love. Let the peace, and sing to each other in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. This is pleasing to the Lord. We are one body in this church, since as members of one body, you are called to... Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Peace. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Well, here in this chapter in Colossians, you know, the Apostle Paul has got really excited. He's so full of Jesus. He's so full of Jesus. He's saying he's supreme. There's no one like Jesus. He's preeminent. He's been talking about Jesus. You know, his fullness is in all places. You know, he's talking about this Jesus who was with the Father and the Holy Spirit and created the world. He created the world. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. He's been referring to, if you like, the cosmic fullness of Christ. And this Christ continues to sustain the world. Hallelujah. He continually sustains this universe. How? By his power. By his power. Hallelujah. But also, the Apostle Paul is saying, this fullness of Christ, this preeminent one, needs to be involved in your life and in your family. Yes, it's his business to keep the universe and the earth going round the sun and the stars in place in the skies. He's this wonderful creator and sustainer, but Jesus wants to be boss of your lives. And this is written to believers. You know, some people say, you must make Jesus Lord of your life. No, friends, he's either Lord or he isn't. He wants to be Lord of your life. If you're a Christian, he wants to be in charge, you know, submitting to Jesus. Isn't it better when the Lord directs our paths? Isn't it? We get ourselves in so much less bother. We still have questions. Lord, I know you're in this, but I don't understand what's going on. We still have questions, but it's putting our trust in the Lord, and He's leading us. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. Jesus wants to be the preeminent one in your life and in your home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is for a few minutes what we're speaking of this morning. Because this section from verse 18 of Colossians 3 is how to have a full family life. Or how to have a full single life. How to be full of Christ. And here we have in verse 18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now friends, I want you to understand that when the church at Colossae received this, this would have been radical stuff. This would have been absolutely amazing. It would have bombed them out. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. You see, under Jewish law, a woman was nothing. She was just a thing, basically. The husband would treat his wife as he would his house or his possessions. She was nothing. And here, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying, wives are equal with their husbands. They have different roles, but why women are no longer inferior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This would have come to them and thought, wow. And it would have been hard to accept unless the Holy Spirit, and of course in many cultures today, that still women are seen as second class. You know, be seen and not heard. But even in the Greek culture of this day, when this was written, women would not be out on their own. They couldn't even be seen and heard. You know, they're saying, I can see you, but I want to hear you. Well, the women would be not wanted to be out in the open, you see. They wouldn't walk the streets alone. She didn't join her menfolk for meals and that sort of thing. And that still happens in some cultures. But the Word of God and Jesus is saying to believers today, hey, you are equal in my sight. Don't treat your other half, as it were, as an inferior being. This is fitting to the Lord. This makes the Lord happy when we follow his instructions, not out of compulsion, not because we have to, but we want to please the Lord and respect each other. It's showing respect. And here, women are addressed as equals. Women are addressed as equals. Because husbands, men, have duties as well as the women. They actually also have responsibilities. Is the writer here, is scripture saying that women should take over the headship? No, he isn't, and neither am I. It doesn't happen in the home. It shouldn't happen in the church. But we are not superior or inferior. It is a God-ordained way. This is written throughout scripture. This, we want to please the Lord. And then there's blessing. There's harmony in the family and in the church. When we submit to what God is saying, it's for our best. It may go against our culture, the British culture, some of this, but as Christians, we want to obey the word and not what's coming out of number 10 or taught in our classrooms. Amen? So, husbands have duties, and this instruction brings dignity to the wife. It brings dignity to the women. Hallelujah. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord, unless they are going against God's order. If they're asking or demanding things which you know are totally contrary to God's love, God's grace, and God's word, then we need to talk about it. Husbands, friends, the novelty of this command would have blown them out of their seats. It really would. The novelty, as they received this letter, and it's the inspired word of God, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. This would have been mind-blowing. It really would. It would have been mind-blowing to the Colossae Christians. And the Apostle Paul is not talking about friendship love. He's not talking about erotic love. He's talking about agape love. He's talking about agape love. So it's forbearing with one another. It's saying, hey, I'm loving you, I'm treating you. You're my loved one. You're my equal. I want the best for you. It's all of your well-being. We failed, I failed, of course. And we need to be able to forgive one another quickly when we get it wrong. We need the forgiveness of Jesus. But husbands, love your wives. As indeed it says in another passage, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. How does he love the church? Well, first of all, it's a sacrificial love, isn't it? Christ died and he gave his life as a ransom. It's a sacrificial love. He took our punishment. We didn't deserve it, but he loved us notwithstanding. He loved us. He had no reason to love us, except he loves us. And he's chosen us for his glory. So husbands, at times it is a sacrificial love to your loved one, to your wife. You want the best for her. You're putting her first. And of course, as you love, as you have been loved by Christ, as you forgive, as you have been forgiven by Christ, you will find that your dear one will be responding to that love. And they will show you respect. They will submit to you. They will be happy because they feel secure. I feel secure this morning because I know I have a Heavenly Father. At times he has to discipline me. At times he has to chasten me. But I know I'm loved by him. I know that there is no condemnation. I am in Christ. There's security. I feel secure. I may have issues and challenges and problems, but I know my Father cares for me. That is how the wives want to feel about their husbands. They feel that security. They feel that love. They feel that you are being graceful towards them. The other passage, which I'm not going to read now, which is very similar to this, is, and I've just quoted from one verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 33. So we are to love each other. This is very practical. Spend time together. Spend time together. What was the poster we had in our kitchen, which Mum put up, right? The old BT advert, British Telecom. It pays to talk or something like that. It's not quite right, but you know, I've confessed this before. Okay, so I'm not saying anything new, and I say it to my shame. I was the second of the world's worst sulkers. There was one worse than me, but I was the second one. And I could create an atmosphere. whispers of, you know, when you're silent, you know, there's the silence and no one quite sure what's upset you, but there's a strong one. And there's an atmosphere, right? And I could create an atmosphere. I can create an atmosphere. And my dear wife, Rachel, helped me, really helped me to see the sin of that and what I was doing to the family. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for her grace, and I'm also thankful for my son's grace, and I'm thankful above all for God's grace. And it's something that I've had to die to. That was part of my fallen nature. Could have been hereditary. I can blame somebody else, but it was me. Okay, it was me. Friends, it's good to talk to one another. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, on your wrath. Okay? This is very practical. But you see, this is written to Christians, it's to believers. Out in the world, sadly, and things go wrong with even within our families, we know that. And I've got if onlys, there will be folk sitting here, if only, if only. But the Lord, if we're Christian, the past is forgiven. Hallelujah. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone! Okay? Even when Satan comes and reminds you or tempts you, get behind, I'm washed, I'm clean. Okay? So from today, we can make a difference. Jesus wants to be Lord of your family, Lord of your home, Lord of your singleness. He wants to be in charge. These are instructions because one day we will have to give an account, okay, since we've been believers, and I want to. So spend time together. Listen to one another. Listen to one another. There's a proverb, Proverb chapter 18. And it's in chapter 18. He who answers a matter before he has heard it, it is folly and a shame to him. That's what I'm saying. We can quickly, you know, we go up into the bathroom and the toilet seat is up, the toothpaste is off, and wow, we go all guns blazing. World War III begins. If we love each other, we'll make sure the toilet seat is down and the toothpaste is on. So, but we do make mistakes, don't we? Remember, Christ's love was sacrificial. And another thing, what Christ is doing for you and for me right now, and I'm so grateful for that, we're learning about this in our study of Hebrews. He intercedes for us. We, and particularly men, we need to intercede for our wives, our children if we have them, and other members of the family. All can intercede, but particularly to cover our wives, we need to intercede for them. Okay, that's part of following Christ's example. Christ wants to participate in our lives and in our families. I'm just reading one scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honour to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Christ wants to have he wants whole marriages, whole families, whole singles. This is a word to believers. Then finally, going back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke, do not exasperate your children, lest they become discouraged. Okay, how much we need discipline in the family. How sadly discipline is lacking in the family. And we are reaping the consequences. We're reaping the consequences of a fatherless, as it were, generation, or where dads do not discipline their children as they should. But you see, an evidence of you being a child of God is that God does discipline you. He does chasten you. It's not, he wants the best for you, but he wants you in the correct way. And as he brings us back into line with his word and his will, we are then of blessing. We're fruitful. Hallelujah. He does it because he loves us. He does it because he loves us. He wants the best for us. Hallelujah. You can read about that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 7 and 8. You see, the absence of discipline means fatherhood is not being practiced. When discipline is not being done correctly, it becomes inconsistent. It becomes inconsistent. Children need boundaries. Mums, dads, make sure your children have boundaries. Have boundaries. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They will respect it. They may rebel for a while, but be consistent. Children, obey your parents because that is pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your elders. That is pleasing to the Lord. This is Jesus saying it. It's not Pastor Jim. It's Jesus. So children, obey those who are in authority over you. Your peers, your friends may not, but you love Jesus. You have respect for this Bible. And I'm just quoting the Bible. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Again, as we get older, if our parents were non-Christian or something and they were causing you to do something which you knew was wrong, then that is another matter. But generally, children, obey your parents. How practical this is. And fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not provoke your children. Again, I say not to lovingly discipline our children is actually to do them harm. It is not true love. Be patient with your children. Don't be irritable with them. Be consistent. You need God's grace. I need God's grace. We need God's help. We need the Spirit's help. He's willing because he wants you to model what is a true Christian family pleasing to him. He wants you to model true parenthood. He wants you to model true singlehood so others can see something of Christ in you, in your children, and in your relationships. He is for family. God is for family. We know that the government and others are systematically breaking down and perverting marriage, that institution which God has created. Genesis chapter 2. God is for marriage, husband, wife. He is for it. Anything else is a perversion. It goes against the Lord. What an opportunity we have to show the biblical Christian way. Children, adults, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Parents, be consistent with your discipline. If you lose your rag, immediately apologize. Immediately apologize. Please, parents, don't, as it were, tell your child off. Ask them to say sorry. Give them a kiss. And they can say sorry because they know they're going to get a kiss. 2 minutes later, they'll do exactly the same thing again. When you have to discipline your child, when you have even to lightly smack them, if that's necessary, that is more effective than raising your voice higher and higher and higher because the kids will raise their voices higher and higher and higher. No one wins. No one wins. Your neighbours will phone the council and say, that family, oh, brr. Discipline them and make sure they know that if they do it again, they get the same result. And they will respect that. They will respect that. They may not like it, and you will say, do you know this hurts me more than it does you? Never beat your child. Never. Never. You don't have to leave a mark on them. But children, Christian children, need to know boundaries so that they can honor Jesus and honor you. Friends, it's a tremendous privilege we have. It's a God-given privilege. We get it wrong. We need to be graceful one with another. But God will help you. God will help you. And I'm here, we're here to help you, because parenting is not easy, but it's so rewarding. It is so rewarding. What an opportunity to bring glory to Jesus and also help lead the little children into the kingdom.